goodsuccess.com.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn at your feet again today. Thank you for the word you have planned to send our way, for your power that is going to be at work today to heal, to save, to deliver. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Father, I ask that you visit everyone. Let no one return back the same way. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. The topic remains Common Sense Guide to Divine Healing, Health, and Wholeness. I believe that after salvation, the most important thing in our lives is health. That's the second thing Jesus did on the cross. Jesus did two major things on the cross: to rescue us from sin and to also rescue us from sicknesses and diseases. Of course, he also brought prosperity and all that. But the second most important thing is divine health, divine healing, health, and wholeness. You know, you may have all the money in the world, whatever you think you have, the moment sickness strikes, every other thing becomes unimportant. And the only thing you start thinking about is how to retain your health. The testimony has been told about a man, I think in the church, that the man was sick and he sold, I think, the first house, the second house, and he was just selling his house very cheap to be able to pay for his medical bills before he was able to come to Jesus and Jesus rescued him. That means no matter all the things you may think you have in the world, when health is lost, every other thing is lost. And before we continue, let me just wish everyone today Happy Easter. Happy Easter to everyone. We are marking the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which makes today very important. Let's read some scriptures. Number one, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Psalm 34, 12-14 says, "Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." These two scriptures give us different ways through which we can have access to divine health. The first one is the exact work of righteousness that Jesus did on the cross. Jesus died for your sins and for my sins. And through that, we have access to divine health. What are the causes of sicknesses and diseases? What are the causes of sicknesses and diseases? Why do people get sick? So we're going to look at different reasons why people get sick, different classifications, you know, of the reasons why people get sick. So we're going to look at the first one is spiritual causes. The first reason why people became sick in the Bible is the cause of the law. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They went against his instructions, direct instructions, and that brought a curse on humanity. That, you know, the man was cursed, the woman was cursed, and from then people started dying and sicknesses entered the life of men. The purpose of sickness is actually to destroy, to kill. So when you see a little sickness in your life, tell yourself, this has come to kill, and begin to take every spiritual responsibility to destroy that in your life. What are the spiritual causes of sickness and disease? Cause of the law, like I mentioned. Then, demonic attacks. Now, because of our sin, because of Adam and Eve, sin entered the world and sickness had access to our lives. Then the other direct one is demonic attacks. You know, sin makes us susceptible to attacks from the devil. So, spiritual causes of sickness, that means sometimes when someone is sick, it may not just be sick because of some viruses or bacteria. It could just become sick because demons have directly attacked them. And we saw that in the life of Jesus when several people in the New Testament, there was a woman actually that was bound. Jesus said, "Ought not this woman, a daughter of Zion, who was bound, shouldn't she be released?" Jesus recognized that this was a demonic attack in the life of that woman. So what are the causes of sickness and disease? Spiritual causes. Cause of the law, demonic attacks. Then number two, which I'll classify as physical or biological reasons. There are physical and biological reasons why sicknesses may enter someone's life. For example, viruses and bacteria. When someone is bitten by mosquitoes, he could end up having malaria because of what the mosquito did. That could lead to malaria. Someone could just be attacked by viruses. For example, COVID, catarrh, all those things. They could just lead to sickness. These are physical reasons or biological reasons why someone is getting sick. Of course, the very root of sickness is the cause of the law. So we are talking about the physical or biological reasons now, that these are the ones that doctors can actually take care of. Then there are hereditary causes. That means someone's father could have a particular sickness, and that sickness could also be transferred into the life of the child. It could just be generational. These are still under biological, not the spiritual one, at biological reasons. But I know there are some sicknesses that could just come into someone's life because of hereditary reasons. Now, another biological reason is nature. Somebody just aging, somebody just getting old. You know that old people, they are susceptible to a lot of weaknesses, a lot of things coming to them. Those are some reasons. Then another one, this one is still under biological, could be side effects of medical treatments. For example, somebody could go to the hospital to be treated for something, and the drug they gave him could also lead to some side effects. And that is why, you know, when you go to the hospital, they give you a drug, and they would list so many scary things that could come as a result of you using the drug. So some of those things could also lead to some other problems in the life of the person. The only reason they are giving the drug is because they felt that the solution the drug is providing is more than the problems that could come because of it. That's the only reason. Now, that's another thing under biological reasons. The next one is medical errors. Someone could go to the hospital to have a procedure, and doctors could just make a mistake, and that could lead to a lot of things. When I was growing up, I had this friend in, let me just say, classmate in primary school then. This guy was lame, was using crutches. And we were told that when he was small, that they gave him an injection, and they wrongly gave the injection. And that's why he was crippled. I don't know how true that was, but that's just to prove to you that there are medical errors. And the funniest thing is, except the doctor comes out to say he made a mistake, or some other people found out that the doctor made a mistake, there's no way for you to prove that the doctor made a mistake. So medical errors could also lead to sicknesses and diseases and weaknesses, or some very bad repercussions in the life of someone. Then another one on the biological, or maybe physiological now, is self-inflicted. Self-inflicted due to wrong habits, lifestyles, choices. You could inflict some things in your life due to wrong habits, wrong choices, wrong lifestyle. For example, like several months ago, if not maybe like 1 or 2 years ago, you know, I was working so much, especially in 2020, I had so much projects to work on, and I was sitting for a long time, and I had the wrong kind of chair. So I started having this back pain. And I didn't need to pray about it. I prayed about it, of course, but I knew that even if I was praying about it, I needed to do something about the back, because I knew why the back pain came, because of the way I was sitting. I knew I was sitting in the wrong posture. So even if I was going to pray for God to take it away, I still had the responsibility of making sure I buy a very good chair that will avoid that in the future. So I've just listed several things that could lead to sicknesses and diseases. Now, you're not here today to learn how sicknesses come and all that. You're here to learn the common sense guide to divine health, divine healings. Now, how do I have access to divine health? So we're going to go through the same thing that brought it. We're going to be looking at them one after the other. Physical ways. Number one, eating healthy. Eating healthy. Eating healthy. That's just you taking responsibility to make sure you eat right. Then, a healthy lifestyle. Staying fit. This is the work of doctors. They will always tell you, you eat right, healthy lifestyle, just like I mentioned, you don't sit anyhow for long hours, watching movies and all that. Make sure you get a good seat for yourself if you're going to be working for long hours. There are several things you need to learn from the medical people on how to live healthy, to eat healthy, to have a healthy lifestyle. Staying fit. You know, in the olden days, our parents, our forefathers, they go to the farm. They are active physically. But now we live sedentary lives that we sit for long hours and all that. So you have to find an alternative of making sure you have a healthy lifestyle. Then number three, proper rest. The Bible says, do not overwork to be rich. Many of us overwork, work. Yes, we know we have to make money and all those things. But you and I should also take responsibility to rest. If you know how to work, know how to rest. Even God himself, he worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. So who are you not to rest? So that's it. Then, now we're going to the medical reasons. I'm not going to dwell so much on this because I don't have the authority to teach on the medical part and all that. Maybe one day we'll get a medical professional to come and talk about all these things. So, medical reasons. Now, I want to dwell on this. We are looking at Common Sense Guide to Divine Healing, Health and Wholeness. Sometimes the way we portray doctors or medical professionals is like they are enemies. No, doctors are not your enemies. In fact, they are your friends. Did you know that doctors save millions of people? Millions of natural lives that pastors cannot. Pastors can pray for you, for those who have faith in their ministry. But many more people have faith in doctors than even pastors. So they are not your enemies. Many people get saved over and over again. I mean, through doctors, so that they can now come to the salvation of Jesus Christ. So there's a common sense that tells you and I that if you're not feeling good, there is nothing wrong in you and I going to see the doctor. There is definitely nothing wrong. It doesn't even mean you don't believe in God at all. We're going to dwell on that later. So just know that one of the ways you can have access to divine health is through your doctor. If you're not feeling fine, in fact, in the first place, because you're not feeling fine, it's something telling you about your faith level. If you're actually living the divine life fully, why should sickness come into your life? The story has been told about this South African pastor that during this particular problem, something like Ebola, something like COVID, that, you know, once you touch the body of the person who has the sickness, you also get infected immediately. And this man was practically using his hands to carry these people, to touch them, and nothing happened to him. They took his hand under the microscope, put the virus on his hand, and as the virus touched his hand, the virus was dying. That's the power of the spiritual. But if you are not there yet, you and I know ourselves. You know yourself. You are not there yet. So if you are not feeling fine, and you know, when you have faith, you know you have faith. If you don't have faith, you know you don't have faith. So don't deceive yourself. Go to the hospital. Praise God. Go to the hospital. It's good. Let them take care of you. Then get back when you are healthy. Now begin to build your faith. Because you know you didn't have enough faith before. Now, when you are healthy, sit back, listen to messages on faith, listen to messages on divine health and healing, listen to Kenneth again. You will learn so much from this man of faith. And you begin to grow. When you grow to the level of faith, you yourself, when sickness comes, you tell headache to disappear and it will disappear. I've lived in divine health in my life for probably more than 25 years. So I know there's a place of the spiritual in living in divine health. And also there's this place of the medical. For example, there was this woman that, you know, the story was told by Kenneth Hagin. I think Kenneth Hagin was trying to pray for her. He could see that the woman did not have faith. He now said, okay, what do you have faith for? He said, I have faith that if I go for this procedure in the hospital, God will make sure it is successful. He said, okay, let it be unto you according to your faith. And the woman went in there, came out. I think after the operation, she recuperated so fast, and the doctors were surprised that no, normally this should take, I can't remember how long, let's say normally this should take like 6 weeks for you to recuperate fully, and maybe like 2 weeks she was okay. So she knew God was actually at work. Then this woman went ahead to build her faith, and she never needed to go through that kind of thing again. So there's a place of building your faith. You and I know that if your faith is not where it should be, let's medical people help you out. Don't just suffer for no reason. Now, we want to go to the spiritual part, which is above all the other things I've mentioned. It's above the medical, it's above the physical. And let me mention and emphasize on this one. Now, let's say, God forbid, somebody went to the doctor and they said the person has cancer and that there is nothing they can do about this medically. Who do you turn to? God. So the question that always comes to my mind is this. If God is the one I turn to when there is no other way, why don't I turn to him first? So make sure God is your source. Even if you are going to see a doctor, you still need to pray because doctors make mistakes. Medical people make mistakes. So you want to focus on God. Let God be your focus. How do we access spiritual access to divine health, the work of redemption. We are celebrating Easter today, and happy Easter to everyone. I hope we have not eaten too much chicken today. So, yes, Jesus died on the cross so that you and I can be free from sin and also sicknesses and all the oppressions of the enemy. So the work of redemption gives us access to divine health, Christ's death and resurrection. The Bible says he was chastised. It said this chastisement of our peace was upon him. They were beating Jesus and tearing his body as they were beating him. That's the kind of cane they used to beat him. They beat him and that thing was scratching his skin. It was torn so that you and I would not experience sickness and disease again. It would be a great dishonor to God for you and I not to honor what Jesus did and enjoy everything he did for you and I. He died so that you won't have access to sickness and disease again. So that even when sicknesses challenge you, you can stand up and say, Jesus already paid the full price. I'm born again. Do you know that at the same time that Jesus paid for your sins, he also paid for your sicknesses. He also paid for you to have prosperity. He didn't do it several times. He did it at once. So don't just have him save you from sin and say, no, only doctors can take care of my health. No. Jesus took care of everything so you can enjoy everything at the same time. So how do you have access to spiritual healing and health? The work of redemption. Claim it. Access it. Number two, live in peace with all men as much as it depends on you. Avoid bitterness. Remember the scripture we heard at the opening part? It says, who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's Psalm 34, 12 to 14. Please read it after this program. If you want to live in divine health, learn to live in peace with people. Now, imagine this. It's funny. Somebody sinned against you. He's the one who offended you. Now, because you didn't forgive him, you are now opening doors to the enemy. I think it's called double jeopardy. You are suffering twice. It should not be you. It should not be me. When somebody offends you, find a way to quickly forgive them so that you live in peace. Even if they still don't want to forgive you, forgive them. Make peace. Because God said it's one of the ways that you can live in peace. I think Kenneth Hagin also told a story about a man. He said this man, he knew him to be living in perfect health. And they asked him, what is the secret? He said, this scripture, this is the secret. He said, he lives in peace with all men. If he can do it, you see your health springing forth speedily. So do not backbite or speak evil of others. Live in peace with people. Bear fruits, another spiritual access to divine health. John 15:2, he says, every branch in me that bears fruit, he said, I will prune it. I will remove all the impurities. I will remove everything that destroys his body so that he can live in perfect health. See, the Bible says the laborers are few. So if you are one of the laborers, looking for how people are going to get saved, looking for how people are going to live in peace, making peace in church, drawing people to the kingdom of God, preaching the gospel, making sure people are saved, you are guaranteed of divine health. It's one of the guarantees. Hold on to this scripture. God says, every branch in me that bears fruit, I will keep him fit. Paraphrased. I will keep him fit. I will keep him divine health so that he can keep doing this for me. For example, if you have two servants, one is always doing what you want. The other is not doing it. And the one who does what you want is sick. Who do you attend to first? Both of them are sick. You attend to the one who does what you want because there is something he gives to you. The same thing as a child of God. When God searches your record, will he see you as somebody who is fruitful or someone who is not fruitful? Make sure you are fruitful. Bear fruits. Bring forth fruits unto righteousness. So, spiritualism includes the work of redemption, live in peace with people, do not backbite or speak evil of others. Avoid speaking negative things of other people. Then bear fruits. Then the next one is live by faith and avoid anxiety. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:25 that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And also says in Proverbs 17:22 that a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. That means if you want to live in divine health, keep your heart joyful at all times. Avoid anxiety. We all know that depression is a major sickness that this generation faces. People commit suicide because they are depressed. But it says, make sure you keep your heart joyful. A merry heart does good like medicine. Avoid a broken spirit. It says it dries the bones. Someone can just begin to have sickness. I'm sure it's proven medically too. The anxiety can lead to many kind of sicknesses. Avoid anxiety. Don't worry about things. The Bible says, instead of worrying about things, it said, do not be worried about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. God is there for you. He's not your enemy, he's your friend. Talk to him about things instead of getting worried. Seek for counsel. Share your problems with people. That's why you have believers. That's why the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of people. Share your challenges with people. Don't just be it alone. Don't be part of this proud generation that wants to fix things by themselves. Look for people who have the resource you don't have. Let them help you out. Praise God. Then what other reason, what other spiritual reason? Intentionally thank and praise God when you get healed. It is the pathway to wholeness. When you get healed, you have prayed that God should heal you. Some of us will pray, you fast. I'm going through this challenge. I'm going through this problem. When God does it, you just speak one word. Father, thank you. In fact, some of us don't even remember to thank God. No, the same way you prayed, the same intensity that you used to pray, that is how you should thank God. Dance to God. Praise God. Intentionally do it. Maybe I should ask you a question. The last thing that God did for you, can you remember how you intentionally praised him? If you can't remember, I doubt if you actually praised him. Because you can remember you prayed, but can you remember you praised? If you pray, learn to praise. If you pray, learn to praise. Thank him. The Bible says in Luke 17:17-19, it says, 10 lepers came. Jesus healed them all. It said, only one returned. That means out of 10 of us, maybe here today, maybe only one of us always give thanks. That means out of every 10 Christians you see, perhaps only one person intentionally appreciates God for what he does. And see this scary scripture in Malachi chapter 2 verse 2. It says, because they will not put it in their heart to honor God, to praise him, he said they will curse their blessings. Many people are living under cursed blessings today. God blessed the person, but God turned the blessing to a curse. The blessing is now bringing many more problems than the blessing itself. So please, you and I, make sure you intentionally praise God. Another spiritual path to healing, health, and wholeness is live in your calling. Fulfill your destiny. God has called you and I to certain areas. Make sure you fulfill it. If you don't fulfill it, you may end up like Jonah. Jonah, in the Bible, God said, go to Nineveh. He took his journey and went to Tarshish. You know the kind of problems he caused. And the funniest thing is that he was not the only one going through the problem. He now brought other people to his problem. Your disobedience to God can cost your family a lot of things. Not only you, many other people around you can go through problems because of you. So make sure you fulfill your destiny. In the church where you belong, if you know you are supposed to be an usher, don't go and sing because you want to be seen. If you know you are supposed to be in the sanitary department where they wash toilets, don't go to where you'll be seen. Obey God because you can open doors to all kinds of challenges that you're not supposed to go through. The next thing is honor your parents. Honor your parents is one of the secrets to divine health and wholeness. Ephesians 6:2-3 says, honor your parents is the Lord, for this is right. He said that it may be well with you and you may live long. See, honoring your parents will make sure your parent blesses you. Even if they don't bless you directly, God will enforce the blessing because he's the one who made the promise. And you will live long. Sicknesses can disappear because you honor your parents. So please try as much as possible to honor your parents. Go out of your comfort to honor them. And may God help us in Jesus' name. Another thing is leverage other people's faith. Leverage other people's faith. Your pastor, your spouse, your children, people. See, we all know our level in faith. You can see somebody who lives in divine health. If anyone is sick, call for the elders of the church. We are not supposed to be sick as Christians, but God says, the Bible recognizes that it can come in somehow. Say, if anyone is sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them lay hands on him. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If you feel something in your body that you are not supposed to feel, call other people to help you out. It is faster. Don't start bearing things alone. Don't be too proud to say, no, I'll pray. I don't want other people to feel I'm sick. No. If you already feel it, then something is wrong. Call other people to help you. Call other people to help you. Leverage your faith. Bishop Oyedepo shared something sometimes ago that we'll never forget. He says, see, when a lion wants to attack, maybe like an elephant or rhinoceros or, you know, all these animals, he said, one lion will not go alone. If this rhinoceros kicks this lion with his leg, it may be the end of the lion. Or falls on the lion is gone because of the weight of the lion. Do you know how heavy all these animals are? But they go in groups to attack these big animals, and they always conquer. See, go to where people are praying. Believers, sometimes ago, Bishop also said something. He said, everybody knows the kind of problem you are going through. Don't pretend as if they don't know. Okay, you are not married. You are of age. Does everybody not know? You are sick. You are in the hospital. Does everybody not know? You don't have money. Does everybody not know already? So why are you pretending as if they don't know? Let other people help you. Don't live life alone. That is the purpose of Christianity. Believers, fellowship. Fellowshipping together guarantees a lot of breakthroughs for you that you don't even need to use your own faith alone for. Another thing, we have so much today. Another thing is, live a lifestyle of consistent fasting schedule and denial of self. Make sure you live a fasted life. That's what Kenneth Hagin called it. Fasted life. You are fasting. Always have a schedule of fasting. Don't live weeks without fasting. As a child of God, don't do that. Live a fasted lifestyle. And I'm quickly going to balance that up now by saying that make sure you don't just fast blindly. Some people, you know, they just keep fasting and fasting. They don't even have a schedule. They fast anyhow, you know. Somebody will just wake up one day and say, I want to fast for the next 40 days or 100 days, morning and night. And they now end up with ulcer. No, there's a wisdom for all these things. In fact, it's been said that when you fast for more than 3 days, of course, there are exemptions spiritually. But when you, naturally speaking, when you fast more than 3 days of not eating or drinking, they thought they please begin to drink water. Because you get dehydrated. You now end up, God forbid, the person may end up in the hospital. We now add another list to his prayer and that thing to be praying for. No, it should not be. There's a wisdom to all these things. Now, somebody will just wake up one day and say, oh, I need to begin to exhibit the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and begin to heal and all that. Why not just go and ask somebody who's already exhibiting it? How did you fast? Did you fast for 1,000 years before you had this power? And you'll be shocked that some of them don't even fast more than 2 times a week or 3 times a week. And the power of God is still working through them. So find out how they are doing it. Don't just jump out and say, I'm fasting long time without having the medical backup and all these things. So there's a way to do all these things. There's a spiritual wisdom behind it. Do it so that you can consistently do it. Living a fasted lifestyle can guarantee divine health because you ward off all the attacks of the enemy. See, when oil is cold, ants can fall inside it and can play around it. But when you are frying something on fire, flies don't need anybody to encourage them. They just fly away by themselves because they know it is hot. It's a no-go area. When you live a fasted life, your fire is boosted up and you can chase off all the attacks of the enemy and begin to enjoy divine health. And another one is, which I already mentioned, is spiritual warfare. There are attacks that can just come on your health. It's not because you didn't do the right thing well. It's not because you are not eating well. It's not for any other reason. Devil just looked at you and attacked you. An example is Job in the Bible. The devil attacked Job. It was a direct attack of the enemy. And it took the direct intervention of God to take it away. The woman I mentioned earlier, the woman was bound back. She was also attacked in her health because Jesus said, this woman, bound of the enemy. So, sometimes the enemy just binds the person. And I'm also going to mention another one as we wrap up that speak health to your life and affairs. Your words are important. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Don't speak sickness. Even when sickness comes, the enemy is just asking you, what do you think is happening? You say, oh, I think I have a headache. The devil said, see, God, he said he has a headache. Why shouldn't we inflict him with headache? So say, no, I can't have it. I reject it. I'm perfect in health. Speak what you want into your life. Because the Bible also says, Jesus himself says, Matthew 12:37, say, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So please make sure you speak right. Then run away from sin. It's another thing. In fact, the Jews knew this. They said, this man who was born blind, is he the man who sinned or his parents? Of course, I almost say dumb question, because the man, how can he sing before he was born? He was blind before he was born. But that proved to us something, that sin can open doors to what Jesus already destroyed. So if you continue in sin, living your life anyhow, then sin will continue. And when I say sin, don't just be thinking about fornication and all those major sins. Disobedience to God. You are going right on the road. The Holy Spirit said go left. You decided to go right because you think you are wiser than the Holy Spirit. Attack can come because of disobedience. Then, lastly, continue to trust God for your health and wholeness. Don't say because money has come. Don't say because everything is sounding good. Don't say because everything is fine now. Whatever comes your way, the first thing you do is to see doctors. No. Trust God for your health and wholeness. Because that temptation comes. When there's no money, the kind of faith we have, man, is second to none. But when money comes, the first thing you think about is, let me just call the doctor. No. Treat it spiritually first. Because that headache could be a sign of cancer. It could be a sign of anything. First, uproot weed when you can uproot it, because before it becomes a roco tree, that you now need everybody in the world to cut it down. May God strengthen us and help us to begin to take the responsibilities for our health in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody has a question as we wrap up. It says, how do I get detached from being worried? I think you are asking the right person. I used to be Mr. Worry. Like, I used to worry very, very much. I think one of the things you need to do for worry is, number one, build up your faith. Build up your faith. Worry can be an addiction. Worry is an addiction on its own. And I can tell you that you can worry and you don't even know why you're worried. It can get to that level. And I've been there before. But one of the things you do is begin to build your faith. Begin to look the gospel. You see all the things Jesus did. Begin to build your own faith. Read books on faith. Read books on how to overcome worry. Kenneth Hagin did a good job. He has a series of messages on how to overcome worry. In fact, that's one of the things that helped me. I started listening to those messages over and over again. And I saw that worry itself can be an addiction, that you are even worried and you don't know why you are worried. You are just worried for what you are not supposed to be worried about. So, number one, it could be an attack of the enemy. Cast it out, then build your faith. That is the only way. Intentional building of it, and it takes time. That's the truth. It can take a month of you being free, but you need to get into the ministry of those who have already walked in faith. Praise God. I hope that helps a little. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of learning at your feet again today. We are so grateful for the truth you have revealed to us. And we pray, oh God, that Lord, grace for us to build our faith. Grace for us to begin to enjoy divine health that you have created for us on the cross. For the purpose, that's the purpose you came for, to destroy the works of the enemy. Sin is the work of the enemy. Sickness is the work of the enemy. Poverty is the work of the enemy. You destroy them all. And now we are free. Father, let us begin to enjoy that freedom in every area of our lives in Jesus' name. And Father, I also speak today according to your word. That is there anyone going through any form of sickness here? Any form of weakness? By the blood of Jesus and by this Easter celebration, that sickness is over in the name of Jesus. That weakness is over in the name of Jesus. You are free indeed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let's have a great week and see you next week. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
The good success has come.